Amen. Thank you, team. You may be seated. Now we have proof, don't we? That when I fill in with the worship team, they're cutting my mic when I sing. We all got proof now, don't we? Uh-huh. How much did you guys pay Gordon to do that? Very little. He was willing, huh? Fine. You know, when God said, make a joyful noise unto him, he was talking about people like me. But one day when I am glorified in his presence, I'm going to be able to sing. And Gordon won't be there to mute me. Well, you'll be there, Gordon, but you won't have the control of the mute. All right, we are Team Jesus, and I'm glad we are Team Jesus, because I would not be on the play for any other team. Because in the end, there's only going to be one team. There's only going to be one captain standing, and that's Jesus Christ. There's a lot of teams out there, and there's one main team that goes against us. But in the end, there's only going to be Team Jesus on the field. That's who we are. We're here to be salt and light. We're here to share with people Jesus Christ. You know what's so amazing about, I'd say probably all of us, I don't know everyone's testimony, but we used to be non-believers. Probably many of us used to mock the Christian faith, mock Jesus Christ, scoff at the Bible, embrace sinfulness, worldliness. That's who we were. But now, by the grace of God, we're here this morning as Team Jesus. Praise God for that. Our eyes have been opened. You know, we're charged with closing or leaving our minds at the door, right? When we enter into church, we enter into Christianity. Oh, it couldn't be farther from the truth. We use and exercise our brains much more than the world ever does. And most of the world is being deceived into a globalist plan. The whole world is changing, moving towards the direction that the Bible has warned us for years would happen. That towards the end, these things will be happening, and to let us know that the end of the end is upon us. That's what we've been looking at as we go through 2 Peter. Today again, we're going to be in 2 Peter with a sermon entitled, Are We Really in the Last Days? Part 6. There's just a few more parts left, I promise. And we're going to get to some amazing, mind-blowing subjects. Subjects that should get us so excited. And I know talking about the last days can be hard, especially for moms, grandmas, because we have children and grandchildren. It can be hard for young people, teenagers, because they have their whole life and all their dreams out ahead of them. It's kind of hard. I don't want to talk about the end. I don't really want Jesus to come back yet. I've heard lots of people say that, and I can understand. We want to see our children grow up. We want to see grandchildren. Young people want to see their dreams and all sort of stuff. But when I get done with this chapter, when we get done with this chapter, the 2 Peter chapter 3, you're going to be so ready for Jesus. What this world has to offer us, from the young people to seeing our children and grandchildren grow up, we'll be ready to go home. We'll be ready for these end times. So hold on there. We're going to get through these bad things and get to the most beautiful, amazing things. Just stick with it. So just a couple more parts to this to figure out where we are in these last days. Why we've been talking about this is because 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 says this, Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets of the Old Testament, and the commandment of us, the apostles of the New Testament, of the Lord and Savior. knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last day. So what we looked at, beginning when we first got to these verses, that these last days, according to the Old Testament prophets, according to the apostles, the last days of the world, of the earth, of humanity, began to tick with the first appearing of Jesus Christ. And we've been in the last days ever since. The point is, where are we in that timeline? You go ahead and go there. Where are we in the timeline? Because it's been almost 2,000 years that we've been in the last days. Do we have another 2,000 years to go? Less? Where are we? Well, the Bible has told us all along there have been signs given, things to look for, that God in His all-knowing said these things will take place, these things will start to appear when you're towards the end of the end. When you're closing in on that last period called the tribulation period. The last 7 years of humanity's history as we understand. There's more to come after the tribulation period, and we're going to talk about that in this chapter as well. But that tribulation period where God brings basically human history, its rebellion, its sinfulness to an end. How close are we to that tribulation period? Well, what we've seen so far in this study, next slide, that all these things that God says we will see or need to be taking place before that tribulation period begins, we've been seeing it. Starting in 1948 with the rebirth of the nation of Israel. Now this right here, folks, I'm not going to go back and rehash this, but it's so amazing. The whole world should become believers in God right here. The chances of one little nation going out of existence, complete existence, they were gone, they were decimated, there was no nation of Israel anymore. For it to come back 1900 years later, back into existence, with their same original language, blood, in the land. This should have woken the entire world to the truth of God's Word. God had always predicted before it happened that Israel would be in the land, then they'd be no more, and He would bring them from all the nations of the world. Every nation they were scattered, He would bring them back in, and the dead bones of Israel would come to life. As we sang in that first song, of Ezekiel, days of Ezekiel, Elijah. Right here should have made every person a believer in God Almighty. But see, most of the world doesn't know about these things. They don't know how many prophecies have come true. They don't know what is happening now right before their eyes is recorded in the book. Because God authored the book. They're too blinded with the sinfulness and the worldliness of this world. The rebellion. They're too blinded with self. We're going to talk a little bit more about that next week, but they're too blinded to see. And so as the Scriptures say, they scoff. They see themselves as superior to you dumb Christians. You people of faith. They scoff at you. Look down at you. They think they're superior. Especially the more they get away from God and deny God and reject God, even to the point where they say, there is no God. They scoff and look down at you. But in the end, they will not be scoffing. And God loves those scoffers. And we do too. And that's why we teach and have the Bible studies that we do here. Because we want to help those who think there is no God. Show them that there is. We want to show them that Jesus Christ is the only way. And why? That's not being mean. It's not being intolerant. But see, we want people to realize, because most of the world did not see and understand the nation of Israel, how big that was for them to come back into existence. But it was huge! for the end times to take place, the tribulation period, Israel had to be back in the land. She had to be a nation. That happened in 1948. Then Jerusalem needs to be their capital once again. That happened in 2017. Then the third temple needs to be built for the tribulation period. We saw how they're ready to build it. They have everything they need to build that temple in about 90 days. And then there's going to be a war right before the end. Ezekiel, Magog, Gog and Magog war. We looked at that. All the pieces are in place for that to happen any minute. Amir Safadi sent out a text a couple days ago saying, Russia, Turkey, and Iran are taking a real close look at our gas from Israel. They're ready. I wouldn't be surprised to see this invasion before November 1st. It may not. It'll happen one day. I wouldn't be surprised if it happens before November 1st. We'll just have to wait and see. I'm not predicting anything. Ezekiel, Gog, war. And then there has to be a global government in place. The Antichrist in the tribulation period rises up through a worldwide government. Most of the time, if you get your eschatology, your end time stuff from movies, it's like the New World Government forms in the tribulation period, and that's not what the Bible teaches. It's in place. The Antichrist comes up through this system and takes it over. And we saw last week how much of the global government, the World Economic Forum, and all that in the United Nations, what they're doing. Today I want to have one more sign. Next week will be the final sign. And then we'll move on. But this week we're going to be looking in Matthew chapter 24 for this one. These are things I have talked about in the past, but I need to connect them one more time to this series that we're doing right now. Matthew 24 verse 1. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. Jesus said, do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another. They shall not be thrown down. This really surprised the disciples. Now as they sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Verse 4, and this is what Jesus said. Talking about the end of the age. Because see, the disciples thought it was going to be real soon. Jesus was there to initiate the end of the age. But he wasn't. He was there to save humanity by dying for our sins. Then giving us a period of grace that we would come to Jesus Christ and be saved, be forgiven. Then there's a tribulation period to break those who have refused to accept Jesus Christ. Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. There's many layers, levels to this. Jesus is the way. There's more religions out there in the world today saying, we're the way. Don't listen to that, Jesus. We're the way. But there's also, never been for in history as we have it today, more people around the world literally saying they are Jesus Christ. More than ever been recorded. Here's one. Go.
That word, death. Death to sin.
Jose Luis de Jesus Miranda claims to be the second coming of Jesus Christ. And his followers believe every word.
This is a historic event. Knowing that God is here on earth.
I am the second coming of Christ, that Messiah that they've been waiting for.
We first introduced you to De Jesus Miranda in 2006. He runs a worldwide organization, Creciendo en Gracia, or Growing in Grace, that he claims has millions of followers. He preaches a message of freedom to indulge.
His message tells us that we're perfect, that there's no sin, that there's no devil.
And also, no hell.
They call you a sinner. We feel hurt.
That message, one theology expert told us, appeals to followers.
So people think of the Christian church as being a downer, as always talking about people being sinners and so forth.
The danger, Mitchell warned, is that with such devout followers, this has signs of a cult. De Jesus Miranda wants to establish a world government with himself as leader. He's also been criticized for accepting expensive gifts from followers, including watches and cars, and living an extravagant lifestyle.
And he took all your sins away.
Still, followers don't seem to care for a man they say cares so much for them.
It's a very positive message.
De Jesus Miranda has over 300 learning centers worldwide, including one in Houston, where he sometimes runs his organization. Kevin Peters for CBS News.
Oh, it's a very positive message. That's what people want. Tickle my ears, tell me something good, especially about myself, and I'll flock to you, I'll follow you. But if you tell them the truth, they don't want sound doctrine, they don't want to hear the truth. This guy said, you know, the so-called Jesus said, you know, when you're called a sinner, that hurts. You know, Jesus talked more about sin and hell than he did heaven from the Bible. You know what? And if you don't like that version, there's an Australian version. There's a guy in Australia claiming to be Jesus. Like actually a couple of them. There's a Korean one. You get choice out there. There's a whole bunch. Whatever nationality, flavor you like. But the biblical one. Wow. I know. The biblical one. A lot of people don't want because he steps on their toes. But Jesus said there'll be a ton of deception. Many false ways, many false Jesuses. We see that happening. Then verse 6, Matthew chapter 24. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. Now, next slide, Levi. This world has always seen war, but in the last century, the 20th century, there was more wars combined in that century than all the previous centuries combined. That's crazy. More people died from war than any time before. And we started this new millennial at war. And there's been war ever since for the last 22 years. Now here's what's interesting. Verse 6 says, the end is not yet. And then it says this, the very next sentence, verse 7. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And I've always thought, well, that's kind of weird because, you know, he just talked about wars and that's what raising, you know, against nation. And they already talked about wars and rumors of wars. But here in studying and listening to others on this subject that I really respect, and it's very interesting with This is a way in the Jewish language to, in the Greek here as well, to describe something that had never happened before, never existed, had no understanding of at the time this was written. What this is saying, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, sounds like warfare, but it's something that they never understood before, never experienced. This is describing world war. Something, they knew about wars, but this is something on a scale that they couldn't even imagine. Even, it was really hard to describe. But towards the end, there will be world war. All the nations against each other. Now we saw in the last 100 years, a little more, World War I, 1914. World War II, 1939. And they're talking World War III right now. It's crazy. We haven't heard World War III since the 80s. The 80s, we were all scared about World War III. But then the Soviet Union fell in 1989, and we really haven't heard about World War III until this last year. So there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be world wars towards the end. Matthew 24, verse 7, the last part of it. And it'll be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. So you're going to start to see an increase in what? Earthquakes, famines, pestilences. Go to the next slide, Levi. 2010 to 2019. This is right off. You can go to type this in. You can go to the National Geographic Society and website geology, what is it called? The I forget. I think that is on one of the slides here, their name. But earthquakes have increased. Earthquakes have always happened since the flood of Noah. Earthquakes begin to happen after the flood. And they've always happened, but there'll be an increase. That's exactly what the data shows. Here, the next one, Levi. This is 6.0 and greater. And this is from the, man, earthquake. I can't see it, my blindness. USGS, thank you. I couldn't see that. I had to enlarge it. USGSwebsite.gov. You can go there and get this. So this is not me making this stuff up. So if you need to reset it, reset it. Because it's really humming now. It's bothering me. Okay. Let them reset it so we don't miss. You. That was quick. You're awesome, brother. All right. Next one right there. So again, you see going all the way back to 1900, all these have been showing the last about 100 years. The normal earthquakes that happen, there's little spikes, but nothing like it has in the last 20, 30 years. Next one, Levi, from Our World in Data. This is sponsored by the United Nations. Global report of natural disasters of all types, famines, earthquakes, forest fires. Everything has been increasing in the last couple decades. Next one, Levi. Here's, again, Our World in Data. And I always find it interesting on these things. 1948 seems to kind of be the kickoff for the signs to start increasing. And in 1948, the rebirth of the nation of Israel. So again, these are government statistics, United Nations statistics. But the Bible said towards the end, this is what Jesus said, this is what you'll see. And this is what we're seeing. It's not climate change. It's what Jesus said, that creation groans under the weight of humanity's sin. The creation desires to be free of the curse. Matthew chapter 24, verse 6. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. World wars. There'll be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes. We've seen all this and increase in the last 100 years. We've seen all this and it increasing. All these are the beginning of sorrows. The beginning of sorrows are the days. This is, if you take it in the Greek here, it's talk about the birthing pains of a woman when she's about to give birth. The pains start and they're spaced out. They're a little intense, but as the closer the birth comes, they're more frequent, more intense. They grow, and then it happens. That's the understanding here of these signs. They will increase in frequency and in destruction. And they'll come. That's what we've seen happen in the last 100 years. These signs, these days of sorrows. Verse 9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated for all nations for my name's sake. He's talking to his disciples here. He's saying, my name, the name of Jesus. This is the persecution of Christians. Towards the end, the attitude towards Christians will be bad. It's been bad for a long time. But the last 100 years, the last century was called the martyr century. You know why? Just like the wars, more Christians were killed in the last 100 years than all the previous centuries combined. The persecution of the church has been terrible overseas. Next slide, Levi. The pictures are heartbreaking. But it's going to increase. And even in our great nation, one nation under God, one nation built on the biblical principles of the Bible, Christian principles of the Bible, put it that way, the attitude is changing towards Christians. Will it get to the point that our fellow brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ have experienced? I don't know. But here's what things have been changing in our country in the last few years. Next slide, Levi. The View, and I know it's The View and Whoopi Goldberg, but hold on. The View co-hosts blame Christian nationalism for mass shootings. Whoopi Goldberg says that it's appearing to blame Christians for slavery and racism. It's always been this way, she says. And down south they use the Bible to be mean and racist and all this sort of stuff. Christian nationalism. If you're a believer in Christ and you're proud of your country, you're a Christian nationalist, which means basically you're a white supremacist. And then it doesn't matter what color your skin is. You can be a black, white nationalist today. It's crazy. But the media, Hollywood, they're trying to promote a looking down upon Christians. This is just soft persecution. We've seen, Christian businesses boycotted and attacked and churches hit and vandalized, but this is just soft persecution, but soft persecution starts to roll, starts to build. In this article, next slide, it says, the View's comments reflect a pattern we find in the media to label Christianity as a vehicle for violence and white supremacy. Last month, Time published an article, "It's Time to Stop Giving Christianity a Pass on White Supremacy and Violence." Now, I don't know what Christianity they're talking about, because the Bible says that all the nations, all the ethnic groups, are one race, called the human race. And it says we're all from the same blood. You trace the family tree back far enough, guess what? We all got the same granddaddy and grandmama. Right? Adam and Eve. We're all the same blood, folks. There's no white supremacy in the Bible. Jesus Christ is a Jew. And we love Him. And we serve Him as Lord. See, they're wanting to paint us as something else, so they can despise us and blame us for everything going wrong, even though what's going wrong is because of their own sinfulness and bad decisions. Similar in L.A., Tom Columbus said, slam Christians who turned to their faith after one of the mass shootings here, the one in Uvalde, accusing them of supporting a return to the kind of faith that allowed brutal enslavement to be the law of the land for centuries. Gee, really? Enslavement? Jesus said, I've come to set you free. And if you know me, you're free indeed. Thank you, brother. That's Don from Wyoming. He's visiting us today. Amen. Listen to this.
Shocking and devastating to see that white Christian fascists are about to decide what women can do with their bodies, and they're about to not only uphold the Mississippi law, but also...
What did she call us? White Christian fascists. Because we want babies to live? Wow. And not all pro-lifers are Christians, but a good majority of them are. And if you're a Christian and you're not a pro-lifer, there's something majorly wrong. But here, a reporter calls for violence against pro-lifers, says they shouldn't have peace or safety until they're dead. Oh, folks, and it gets worse. There's things out there people are saying about Christians I can't bring in here. It's that bad. It's that vulgar and nasty. The attitude towards Christians in America is changing rapidly. Jesus says towards the end, you'll be hated for my namesake. Now we're being called in our own country white Christian fascists. Play the next one, Levi.
Whenever you do something about representation or diversity or whatever, you
sure.
You always push back. How would you counter that, I suppose?
Well, I mean, the real truth is those people are idiots. I mean, I think throughout history...
Okay, stop. Do you know who he's calling idiots? Us. Because in the new Disney movie, they have a same-sex couple kissing. And parents are like, why are you bringing your agendas into Disney? Disney used to just tell stories, right? Fairy tales. But now they have an agenda. And people are upset because they took Lightyear and they're trying to push an agenda on the children. And this guy says, those that oppose this are idiots. So he's calling you an idiot. He's calling me an idiot. And he goes on in the video to say, you know, those kind of people, they just die off eventually. Matthew 24, verse 9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And because of this hatred, because people, there's going to be a cost to following Jesus Christ. There's going to be a cost in this life for standing up for the truth. It can happen at your workplaces. It can happen in your families. It can happen in your schools. Where you stand for the truth of what Jesus said, who he is. And there's going to be pushback. There's going to be hatred. There's going to be a cost. And for many, Jesus says, they don't love me enough to stay with me. They don't love me enough to pay the cost. Here's what this says, verse 10. And he says, because of this hatred, many, just like in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, and I'll say, I depart from me, I never knew you. Many will be offended with the truth, offended with Jesus Christ, offended with what the Bible actually says, will betray one another, and will hate one another. This is talking about inside the church. That's the context. A church divided. But you know what's amazing about when this sort of stuff happens, when persecution comes? The real believers are highlighted and the false believers are highlighted. And the church will become stronger. The true church will be restored and be faithful and will stand strong together. As the Bible describes the faithful church as being small and without much strength, but they're there. They're standing. We're seeing to see that in our church. In churches across the world, people getting offended with this, falling away from the church. Verse 11. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. I've talked about this plenty of times. I'm not going to go in depth into it. Next slide, Levi. The new apostolic reformation. Yes, we have a couple of churches in town who promote this, who basically are the center of this movement. These new people who call themselves apostles and prophets. There's literally thousands of them now. They're not biblical. They have more authority than the original apostles of the New Testament. All false, teaching false things. There are tons of people. He says, in the end, many false prophets will rise up. We have more false prophets around the world today than any time in human history. Verse 12, and because lawlessness will abound. Lawlessness here in context is not just breaking the laws like Trevor deals with every day as a police officer. This is lawlessness. This is without the Word of God. Lawlessness means not obeying the Word of God. You're going to do your own thing. You don't care what this says. As we saying, trust and obey. That's why I had that song in here. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Their love for Jesus Christ will grow cold. How sad. Their love for being His church will grow cold. Because the lawlessness has stripped them. Pre-COVID, less than 20% of Americans regularly attended church. The church was slowly dying out because the church, for the most part, left this. Most denominations have left this. And church attendance was slowly dying because the church was no longer being faithful in the United States, for the most part. But after COVID, churches report one-third to one-half of those attending before COVID never returned. Why? wasn't their passion. They weren't really in love with Christ. They weren't really in love with being in the church. They were religious, and then they got a taste of not having to worry about coming to church on Sunday. How many of you couples argue more on Sunday mornings than any other time of the week? Nobody? Oh, lies. You lying. You're lying. Because me and Wendy, before, you know, Sunday morning was always hectic. We argued. Sunday morning, we were arguing. Then we pull up and, hey, everybody. Jesus loves you. So me and her were the only ones that argue on Sunday mornings? Wow. Maybe I should check me and Wendy into counseling. I'll counsel us. We've been watching something happen here in the last 2 years. Many pastors, ones I greatly respect, believe what we've been watching is this Matthew chapter 24. The love of many growing cold. Why? That's why there's plenty of room in the pews around you. Yeah, we have quite a few people out and traveling, and usually there's a few more here, but we still have plenty of room. Most churches do nowadays. Because, you know, we're not a church that serves their needs. People want to know what you can do for them. No, we're here to serve Jesus Christ. We're here to do what He wants us to do. It's about Him, not about us. Oh, entertain me, Pastor. I'm not here to entertain you. We're watching this take place. This sign of the end. It's also recorded in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, the rapture of the church, which we'll talk about in a couple weeks, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter as is from us, as though the day of Christ, the end times, had come. You're not in the end times. Don't worry about it. Verse 3. Let no one deceive you about this, by any means. For that day, the end time period, will not come unheard till, unless the falling away comes first. Falling away. He's talking to a church. He's telling that the church, there's going to be a falling away, the great apostasy. I'm going to talk more about that next week. It's the final sign before the end. But we've been watching this falling away. People's love for the Word of God, people's love for Jesus, for His church, is falling away. It's happening. Skip the next verse. I don't have time. Go to the next one. There you go. Matthew chapter 24, verse 13. Falling away will happen, but she who endures to the end shall be saved. You see, those who won't fall away, those who aren't going to back away from who Jesus is and us following Him, being obedient to Him, sharing Him with others, testifying of the truth, those who aren't going to compromise with the sinfulness of the world. We don't hate the world, we love the world, and we're going to share the truth with them because God loves them and we're too. We love them too, but you know, we're gonna get their anger back. We're going to get their hate. And we're just going to have to love them back. Those who endure as salt and light. Those who endure as Team Jesus, serving, living for Jesus Christ. Being a faithful church who will not compromise, who will not allow corruption in. Those who endure to the end before He comes and gets us, the end of your life, whatever that end is for you, you see, a true born-again believer will not fall away. We may stumble, we may slide back once in a while, but we will never, ever, ever fall away from the faith. We will never, ever fall out of love with Jesus Christ. We will never, ever not want to be His church. It can't happen with a true born-again believer because you have the Holy Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit of God has brought those desires. If you don't have those desires, then you don't have the Spirit of God. Which means you're not born again. You may be religious, and you may be a very nice person, but you will not endure to the end. Well, harder it is to be a believer in this country, the more will fall away. Last thing, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. Now that's happened, folks. The gospel has gone out around the world. Missionaries, the internet, the radio waves, TV, satellites. The gospel has gone around the world. And then the end will come. See, Levi, go to the next slide. So there we are. Signs of the times. Happening for the last 100 years. The days of sorrow. Then the end will come. How close are we, folks? Guess what? I got one more. I got one more that's going to fit in there. And it's truly appalling what I'll show you next week. And it's truly fulfilling of what Scripture says the church will be like at the end. Jesus warned us about all these signs. The Bible has warned us and foretold all these signs. We're seeing all of it. How close? How close? Romans 13, verse 11. Do this. Do this. Knowing the time, then now it is high time to awake out of sleep. It's no longer we can just play, you know, skip around and just pretend everything's good. It's high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. I will show that in 2 weeks how close the rapture is. Whew. Our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Whew. Let's put on Jesus. The Bible says many are going to be offended with Him and fall away from Jesus. Let that not be said of any of us. We love Him because He first loved us. He gave His life for us. He is amazing. He is true. He is beautiful. He is good. He is merciful. He is everything to the born-again believer. Let us put on the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no one like Him. No, not one. He is who we live for. He is who we serve. Let's pray. Team, come on up. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, looking at those slides, that final slide, of all those lines, all those signs that are happening that Your Bible has warned us for generations, for literally thousands of years, some of them 2,000, 4,000-year-old prophecies that we're seeing come into existence right before our eyes. And they're not vague prophecies. They're detailed. They're precise. So Lord, I ask You to help. Help us as a church to understand there's not much time left. We only have a certain amount of time to be the church and to share the gospel with folks. Let us be about Your business. And Lord, if there's anyone in here who's not right with You, who's not been born again. As you told Nicodemus, if someone wants to see the kingdom of heaven, they must be born again. Lord, if there's someone in here who's not been born again, let them come talk to me. We're not going to judge them. We're not going to mock them. We're going to help them find the truth. Because you are the truth. And only in you can we be set free. And Lord, if there's anyone in here who's a scoffer, who mocks the thought of you, the thought of your word, of your very existence, Lord, I ask you to reveal yourself to those people. The truth of who you are. Your mighty presence and power. And Lord, I ask you to help us as the church. As those who have been born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Who have been free from so much sin. So much corruption and rebellion. By your grace and grace alone, I ask you to help us realize how precious you are and to have you as our Lord and as our Savior. Because there's no one like you. Let us truly, truly embrace that. To know what we have in you is worth everything. And there's nothing in this world that's better than you. Let us stay strong, let us stay faithful, and do not let our love grow cold. We pray this in your name, in the name above every name, in the only name given to us that we might be saved, in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's sing this last song. You know, if you have Jesus Christ, you have everything. You have the greatest love in your life, provider, protector, one who will walk with you, never leave you, never forsake you. You can't outdo God's patience. Can't wear it thin. It's long-suffering towards us. If you don't have Jesus Christ, He's waiting for you. But you must come to Him in repentance, humbleness, and faith. If you don't understand those, please come and see me. If it's not today, sometime this week. You don't have to make an appointment, just show up. Don't keep living without Jesus. It's so much better with Him. Trust me. Trust me. How many of you guys agree with that? Amen. Alright. Alright, Team Jesus. We're going to go out on the playing field of the world. Take Jesus, be salt and light. Try to share Him when we have a chance. We're going to play for our Lord and Savior. And playing means living life to the best of our ability to honor Him and to show Him to others. He's our captain. Let's go do our best for Him because He deserves that. So on the count of three, we're going to break out of here. We're going to go. We're going to charge out there with enthusiasm, with passion, but with the truth. Count three. One, two, three. Great. Let's go.